Great. Okay. Welcome to our discourse on Sunday today. Our topic is what's the difference between knowledge and wisdom? And go ahead, Sam. What's the question?
I figured it out. I wasn't sure who, when they were talking about TEL, I wasn't sure. Now I just figured it as I opened it up again. They were referring to TE Lawrence. Okay.
Yeah, T.E. Lawrence, right, exactly.
Yes,
I thought it was a very interesting way to present T.E. Lawrence, present the concept. And this is what I want to share for you right away. So this is a snippet of what was on the site. Now, can everybody see my browser here?
Yeah.
Etymology of wisdom, right? So this is the article that I wanted you to read. And the part I've highlighted here, which is here, put it in blue so you can see it, is a very interesting perspective. Because this is something that many people don't often point out, but this individual who's writing here is actually bringing together the common understandings of the East and the West when it refers to wisdom. So who would like to read that in blue? Anybody?
Which one? The one you have highlighted?
Yes, the one I have highlighted.
I'm happy to start.
Go ahead.
Okay, wisdom is the way in the Tao sense of the way. Wisdom is about the way of knowing, not the known, obvious. In fact, this etymology of wise reinforces this with a Lao Tzu quote from the Tao Sing Ching. Is that correct?
Ching.
A wise man has no extensive knowledge. He who has extensive knowledge is not a wise man. Also, wisdom as seeing in the knowing, wisen sense, as in vision. Latin, vid, Greek, id, and without even reference to the Taoist concept of way. Interestingly, not only the Old English and Germanic derivations, but the Proto-Indo-European origins too. Only a small step back to common Sanskrit origins of the Buddhist Vedas, as well as Pi, surely. Why can you never find an archaeologist when you need one?
Right. Okay, so here we've raised several questions. The first is the perspective of Asia that he mentions, which is Lao Tzu, which is the founder of Taoism and the Tao Te Ching, the book of life. A wise man has no extensive knowledge. He who has extensive knowledge is not a wise man. That's one translation of that verse. There are several, but they all basically say it very similarly. And here he's making a very clear contrast between wisdom and knowledge. What do you think he means by this? Anybody, we could start a discussion. Why is Lao Tzu saying that a wise man has no extensive knowledge and one who has extensive knowledge is not a wise man? What do you think is meant by that?
I was thinking about this as I was reading it this morning. Is it wisdom is what we live, and knowledge is what we read?
Is what you... I didn't hear the last part. The last knowledge is...
What we read.
Uh-huh. That's one way. So how would that further be defined as their difference? How would you describe them and contrast them, their qualities, if that's what you're saying? Wisdom would be what?
What we live, our present, our reality.
Okay. Can someone describe it in a different way? I'd like to be more clear about that. That's still a bit ambiguous.
Wisdom is formed, created through experience and listening.
Okay.
What was the last thing you just said, Johnny?
I forget.
And listening.
Is listening and experiencing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And knowledge is good. It's also an experience, but it tends to fill up your mind, and you can't. So you can't see with a big S. You can't see clearly. You're too you're too much in dukkha in a way.
Okay. Yeah. Anybody else?
Well, knowledge, when you know something, you're educated on a subject, doesn't mean you're wise.
Okay. And very true.
And a wise man, or you have wisdom, I think you have lived through it. And truly, I think knowing yourself and how you relate to other people, you actually experience and live life.
Okay. Anybody else?
Here it says in the text, we're relating to Taoist explanation, right? So wisdom is the way of knowing. So to expand on what Quinn said and Sam said, it's living it, and it's the philosophy of life, how you actually live your life, and the tools you're using, and certain, I guess, ethics by which you live the life, that ties into everything, as opposed to just information, knowledge that is not necessarily contributing to any well-being or practical application.
I just, as Masha was talking, I was thinking, you know, as I was growing up in Catholicism and I was taught to read the Bible, I would read the Bible and went to church and I would hear things told to me about how to live a better life, and it resonated. But somehow, now in my later years, as I've started to study with you, Warren, it's the wisdom that has helped me, not the knowledge. And that's what I was thinking about this morning. You know, words are one thing. To me, that's what knowledge is. But wisdom is life. And that's what at least has helped me move forward.
Okay. Let me present to you, all of you are saying actually the same thing in different words. And
yeah.
So I'm gonna throw in my two cents here. So every time I come to LA, I get really excited about a few things. And one of the things I get very excited about is the Japanese supermarkets. Everything, nori, sushi, tofu, all the vegetables, everything I could imagine, all the Japanese things, sliced kurabata pork belly for doing miso soup, and everything you can't find anywhere else except in Japan or Japanese supermarkets. And so I go and I get my basket, right? And I start to go into the supermarket and I'm picking things off the shelf and I'm putting them into my basket and I'm putting them back. And then basically I go through the process. And then I check out. So how would we describe wisdom and knowledge using the metaphor of me shopping in a Japanese supermarket? What would be the stuff in my basket? Wisdom or knowledge?
Well, knowledge is, you know Japanese food, you know, yeah, you know what to buy, and wisdom is you know what's good for you.
Okay, so that's a good way to put it, Johnny. Although I would, the way I thought about it was slightly different, but incorporates that.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that the things that I buy, that's knowledge, right? I know the tofu, yeah. I know the pork belly, I know the shiso leaves, I know I don't know if it'll be good, but I hope it'll be good. The roasted eel that only lives in Asia and they have to bring it over here. I know all those things. The good rice. Oh, I found finally some fantastic rice. good rice. But the wisdom is the understanding which ones I'm actually going to buy. The process of going through the supermarket, of selecting it all in my head, that's putting it together of how I'm going to eat it, and eventually doing that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The objects in the basket is part of knowledge. But the ability to take those objects and either project into the future how they're going to be used, or in the present, what I will require in order to use them, that's wisdom.
Can you put that as it relates to life, not to cooking?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you know, I just thought since COVID, everybody's talking about cooking and cooking shows are the thing, you know, why not use a cooking metaphor? I'm keeping with the times. I didn't have a video to actually, it would have been, if I would have had a video to go with it, that would have been the perfect discourse. Yes, knowledge are things we accumulate. As Quinn said, we learn something. We know something about something. As Johnny said, you know how to use the different things, right? But then as both you and Masha brought up, wisdom is the actual doing it. So in this little quote, and why I love it so much, is his very beginning. Wisdom is the way. Wisdom is about the way of knowing, not the known. That's on that page. That's why. And so it means wisdom is how you do something. And if we go back to the old German and English, which he mentions here is wissen, is to understand. And we go back, that's related to vision, to seeing. And we go back to the Latin, which is vid, is also an id in Greek, which is related to seeing. But without that, we go even farther back to what he mentions, the Proto-Indo-European Sanskrit origin.
Oh my God.
Is Ved. Ved, and Ved is related to Veda, which is in ancient Sanskrit, the wisdom of the universe, the laws of the universe, very similar to concepts of Dharma. Not identical, but similar. So, but Veda is not just a knowledge of it, it's how you practice it. It's the pujas, it's the ceremonies, it's the daily practices, it's the actual putting into practice of what it is that you know. Okay? Clear so far?
Yeah.
Just a suggestion. So now if we go to the second page, which you guys should see now, right? You can still see that, of knowledge.
Yeah.
Etymology of knowledge. It starts with that old concept of ancient, with 12th century C-N-A-W-L-E, not knowledge, very interesting. Superior honor, worship, but it then goes down to something that can be known, something that can be known ahead of time, something that can be aware of. But we go back again to the very bottom that you're seeing, I'm bringing up to the screen. Know from the Proto-Indo-European, a meaning to know. One of the places that we see this very obviously is in the Greek concept gnosos, which is one of the early Christian philosophies of being able to know what is true. And we see a similar counter to that in agnosis or agnostic, when one is not choosing not to believe one thing or the other, but to be aware without having to be committed to one thing or another. So as you see down at the bottom, once, not the bottom, but right here in the non-highlighted, it is the hypothetical source of evidence for its existence. And that's provided by the original Sanskrit, ajna, which comes from jnana, which means intellectual knowledge. Or also then it goes into Avestan Sainti in Old Persian. It goes up Slavonic as it's evolved into all the different concepts of relation to knowledge. So here, the most important part is that knowledge is based on a source of evidence for its existence. Okay. Are we understanding what I'm saying by that? Knowledge, yeah. Its origins relates to something that can be tangible. That we know tangible, that we understand, we know its existence. Now, it's not necessarily a physical thing, but it's something that we can ascertain has an existence of its own, at least to our satisfaction. Wisdom is more how to take that object and employ it, or how we employ it, one employs it.
Or in going back to the page we were reading before,
yeah.
When I was reading it, there was something that stood out. I was trying to find it earlier, but I found it now.
Okay.
And it was a line that said, "Hence, wisdom implies the union of high mental and moral excellence."
Where is that?
At the bottom where it says usage.
Yeah, right. There we go. Okay, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it says, I just got stuck on that sentence. Hence, wisdom implies the union of high mental and moral excellence.
Yeah.
And right. That's, to me, what Buddhism is all about.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very interesting, I found this person's presentation and description was able to really address the more subtle forms of what the words really mean. He was able to somehow present that and uncover some of the deeper nuances of wisdom and knowledge. For practical purposes, how would we interpret these differences that we're noting in a dharmic sense? Does anybody have an idea?
Well, if you continue on that sentence, and it says, mm-hmm. status, providence, or forecast is a more negative character. It rather consists in avoiding danger than in taking decisive measures for the accomplishment of an object.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, that kind of got me thinking about a lot of things.
Yeah, like what?
Clinging.
Okay. What caused you to think of clinging? What led you to clinging, the thinking of clinging?
When it said here, it rather consists in avoiding danger than in taking decisive measures for the accomplishment of an object.
Right, there. Right.
Object, yeah.
Right. Well, what does that sentence start with?
Prudence.
Okay, yeah. And what is prudence normally defined as?
Yeah.
What's a synonym for prudence?
What did you think, Quinn? Did this hit you at all? I mean, I was just like, I got really stuck on that, on those two sentences.
Let's try something here.
Well, when I was reading this, it just remind me of it's similar to the serenity prayer, whereas you accept the things you cannot change and the courage to change the things you can and the wisdom to know the difference. And this is where the wisdom go in, where how do you define what to change and what not to change and to see the difference. And I think for the Al-Anon concept, they have to practice the steps to actually see the wisdom to know the difference.
Mm-hmm. That's very good, well put. Have a look at what everybody can see the site I just brought up, the synonyms for prudence.
Judgment. Yes.
Yeah.
Diligence.
Right. Discretion, frugality.
Carefulness.
Circumspection, right. So
yes.
Prudence implies, what does prudence imply? Some form of, I'm thinking of a specific word, and is it here? Yeah, it's kind of here, but it's not actually here. But to give you a hint, it starts with a C.
Carefulness?
Okay, but that's partial, but I'm thinking of another word. Anybody think of it?
Calculation, considerateness.
That's calculations is definitely part of it, because the calculations are what are underlying everything. One is calculating, one is anticipating, one is expecting, right? I'm thinking of the word caution. Prudence and by in kind of it implies some kind of caution about something, right? To be cautious. Cautious implies that there's some consideration, there's carefulness, there's some kind of consideration. All of that implies there's either attachment or aversion to something, right? And that, going back to the sentence in the first, which is here, what he's stating is prudence, that is providence or forecast, is of a more negative character. It rather consists in avoiding danger than in taking decisive measures for the accomplishment of an object. So we could rephrase that by saying that prudence is actually taking into consideration what you want to accomplish, your goal, and then adjusting your behavior according to your goal. Whereas wisdom means you take into consideration the right ends as well as the right means, or as he puts it here, a union of high mental and moral excellence. And so Socrates, when faced with the choice given to him by the public of Athens, the Senate of Athens, to either face exile or commit suicide by drinking hemlock for disturbing and corrupting the youth, does that sound familiar? Chose taking the hemlock, because in his mind, that was of high mental and moral excellence, not compromising his beliefs, his values, or acknowledging that he actually did what they say he did. Whereas prudence would have been him saying, okay, I'll go into exile, because then he would have accomplished the goal of surviving and maintaining his life. However, it would have given fuel to the Senate in Athens to say, well, you see, he took his punishment, so he acknowledged that he was disrupting and he was disruptive to our society.